This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Doing that. Our scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 27. Be reading from ESV. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 27. And it says, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we ask right now, you have your way. God, speak to every last one of us. Even if it's not our intention to hear from you, God, speak to us anyhow. Quicken us, waken us. God, let us understand what you're saying in such a way that we would not just hear it, we would do what you ask us to do the way you ask us to do it. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Have your way, God. You're the potter, we are but clay. Mold us and make us after your will. Bless now, God, that we can truly be a blessing to others. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Have your way now. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. That there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Our subject today, let's give God a hand. Yeah. Let's give God a hand. Yeah, let's give God a hand. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand. Oh, I'm going to need somebody to give me a hand. Don't you? You can give me a hand. I appreciate it. All right. Okay, all right. Isn't it ironic? When we say, let's give God a hand, we clap. When I say, I need a hand, we move. Now, wait a minute. Well, okay, let me break it down again. Brother Melvin Washington will remember this. Some years ago, we had a heavy wooden ladder that we use to change these bulbs. Not aluminum, it's a heavy wooden ladder. I don't know if it's still up there or not. Big green ladder, tall. And I think it was Brother Washington who had that ladder, and sometimes it would lean. And Brother Washington said, can I get a hand? And all of us standing around said, now, what he was saying was he needed a hand with the heavy lifting. Yeah, he needed a hand with the heavy lifting. And I believe today God is saying to us, can I get a hand with the heavy lifting? I need you in transforming this world. And instead of helping God with the heavy lifting, we make some noise in worship, and some folk didn't even do that. I said, some folk didn't even clap and say, praise God. God needs our help, not just in worship, but outside of worship. Sometimes we think we've done a little bit of worship. That's all God needs is what we do on Sunday morning. Hopefully, by the end of this message, you'll understand that it goes further than that. No, watch, I am okay. I did not fall. Okay, all right. You know, as a matter of fact, we may even think that God does not need us to help him do anything. He is God. How can God need my help? But I want you to look at what the Word of God says about whether or not God needs us to do anything. Ephesians chapter 3, very familiar passage. You've heard this 1,000 times. Here come 1,001. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, comma, according to the power at work within us. Oh, that lets us know God can do all these things that we know God can do, but God chooses to use us to get it done. I said, God chooses to use us to get done what needs to get done in this world. What a mighty God we serve. But not only does he need us to do it, he has empowered us to do the work. He's empowered us to do his will. We're not helpless. No. Now, I know. I know too many Christians live defeated lives saying, we can't be as good as that brother, that sister, can't be as good as the deacons, the pastor, can't be as good as the folk who got leadership in the church. I can't be as good as them. I can't live as holy as they live. You know, I just got to sin. Well, the Bible is clear. We all have sin. Yeah. I just sin. And begin to think, God can't use me. Because I don't look as holy as somebody else. Or God can't use me because of whatever thing I've done in the past. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Amen. People are watching you and following you. And you are an influencer in somebody's life, whether you realize it or not. They're not just following you on Facebook just to be following you. They kind of know that they want to know what's going on in your life, and you tell them. But you are an influencer, even if you did not make up your mind that's what you wanted to be. And so God knows that we're not perfect. God knows that we're not perfect, but he has placed perfection in us. Woo! He has placed perfection in us when we've come to be saved. How did God do it? Well, first, God saved us through the blood of Jesus. Not because you're so good, not because you got everything together, not because you're so righteous, not because you're so pretty, not because you're so handsome, not because you're so smart, not because your income. No, he saved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for all of our sins, all our mess. And he didn't just die for your mess, he died for everybody's mess. God saved us through the blood of Jesus. Then God gifted us with spiritual gifts to do his will. He's gifted. He saved us, then he gifted us. He empowered us to do his will. And then, but God is with us as we do what he called us to do. Yeah, he didn't just save us and empower us to do his work. He says, and lo, I'm with you always. He's with us to help us. You're not doing it by yourself. Now, sometimes when we do stuff, we kind of want to act like, you know, look at what I did. No. Give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for the things he's done. Knowing that God has empowered us to do his will, let's look at three things relevant to giving God a hand as we move to excellence in kingdom building. We can give God a hand in transforming our lives and the lives of others. First, let's give God a hand through our living. Amen. Through our living. Dr. Larry Gilbert, who's the founder of Ephesians 4 Ministries and Church Growth Institute, states, there's a Christian fable that is told of a quaint little church courtyard in a French village where there stood a beautiful marble statue of Jesus with outstretched hands. One day during World War II, a bomb struck near the statue and mutilated it, just destroyed it. After the battle was over and the enemy had passed through, the citizens of the village decided to find the pieces of their beloved statue and reconstruct it. Though the statue was no work of art by Michelangelo or any great artist, it was a part of their lives and they cherished it. Even the scars on the body added to its beauty. But there was one problem. They were unable to find the hands of the statue. One person commented, "A Christ without hands is not Christ at all." Hands with scars, yes. But what's a Lord without hands? We need a new statue. Then someone else came along with another idea, and that idea prevailed. A brass plaque was attached at the base of the statue that read, "I have no hands, but your hands." Our prime purpose in life is to help others. I said, our prime purpose in life is to help others. Literally, when we talk about spiritual gifts and why we're moving this and talking more and doing again the spiritual gift things, understand that spiritual gifts are literally the hands of God. Yeah. We had this in our Bible study, and we have this now. I want to share this with you. It says, the words it says, "I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. I have no tongue but your tongue to tell men how I died. I have no help but your help to bring men to God's side." Understand how God wants to use us to transform the entire community. A spiritual gift is the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit can minister through the believer. Amen. Spiritual gifts are God's provision for the Holy Spirit to minister to people and through the people. Amen. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, 27. "That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." Spiritual gifts allow us to serve as God's hands. Everything you think God ought to be doing, God has said, "I'm willing to do it." I'll never forget when he said the harvest is plenteous. He told his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Then he said, "Pray that the Lord will send laborers." If you keep reading after that, he then sent them. He said, "Pray about it, but now y'all go and do what I need you to do." It's great to pray, but be careful for the answer to come back. God is speaking back to us through his word. He tells us the things he wants us to do. Stop and consider the importance of this. For only through spiritual gifts can Christians minister to others with the full power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's God who gave you the spiritual gift, so he's empowered you to use what he's given you for the edification or for the building up of the body of Christ, for the building up of his kingdom. That's the reason we have the gift. You might use it for other things. You might use it and other people say, "You're such a nice person," or "I can't believe you gave so much," or whatever else they say. But that's not the real reason you have the gift, the spiritual gift that God has given you. It's not about you living a perfect life. Yeah. Too late for that. But it's about living the life God has empowered you to live through the gifts he's given you. The only hands God has are your hands. Let's give God a hand. Secondly, let's give God a hand through our giving. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 again. "That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." We should have the same care for one another. We should care for one another. We should care for one another. We should care for one another. Care costs. Care generally costs something. Well, that might be why a lot of people say they just don't care. The first century church realized this, so they sold their possessions so everyone's need could be met. All needs were met. Yeah, that was the ministry. That was their ministry. All needs would be met, the church's ministry. And listen, and because they met all needs, because all needs were met, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily. That's excellence in kingdom building. When the kingdom grows on a daily basis. Well, I know we love it if one person or two people come on Sunday morning. But what happens if people are coming every day? We are members of the same body, and we have a charge to care for one another. Not caring and not giving is literally stealing from God. You say, Pastor, that's kind of rough. Yeah, stealing from God. Okay, let's go to the word. Malachi 3. I just want to read verse 8 through 10. The Bible asks, will a man rob God? Now, understand, it's talking in general, so it means man or woman. Will a man rob God? Yet, you are robbing me. But you say, how we rob you, God? How we rob you? In tithes and contributions. The word of God said, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Bring the full tithe to the storehouse so needs can be met. I know what folks are saying. Oh, yeah, I bring a little bit to the church, but the Lord know the good work I'm doing with the money over here. The Lord know what I'm doing with the money over there. And I'm not telling nobody because the Lord knows how I'm giving. The Lord knows how I'm sharing. The Lord know you ain't paying tithe too. Amen. Bring it to the storehouse. So we'll be able to do more. So we'll be able to do more, not only for, but essentially for our congregation, but even outside of our congregation as we minister that others may come to know Christ. Amen. Now, you don't have to have the spiritual gift of giving to pay your tithe. Just be obedient and give. Hallelujah to the few. just be obedient and give. And wait a minute. Be obedient and give. And look what the word says. And the Lord will give back to you. I sometimes wonder, do we just trust God? You know, literally because Jesus died for our sins, rose from the grave, we trust him with our eternity. We believe he died, rose from the grave. We trust our eternity. So when we lay it out and we're gone from here, you know, heaven is our home. We say we believe that. Yeah, we could trust him with eternity. But it's something about trusting him with what we got right now. Hallelujah. Okay, how do you know, Pastor? How do you know that if I give, the Lord will give back to me? What's the word of God? Luke chapter 6. Verse 38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Can you trust God enough to give him a hand through giving? Yeah, give him a hand through giving. Can you trust God? But let me move on. I'm moving on. That giving thing get a little sticky. I know. But listen, I say it, I preach it, I teach it. Only because it works. Only because, as your pastor, I really want God to bless you with the blessings that you stand in need of. God said, try me now. Can you trust God enough to give him a hand through giving? Not only should we give God a hand through living and give God a hand through giving, but we should be giving God a hand through our forgiving. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If there's to be no division in the body, then there must be a lot of forgiving. Y'all know, even all the gifts we have, we do stuff that rub other folk the wrong way in the church and around the church. But we got to forgive. Yeah, even if they meant to do it. Even if they didn't say to you, I'm sorry. Giving, forgiving, and I don't know what's harder for some folk. I don't know if giving is harder than forgiving. But forgiving isn't costing you anything. But as we talk about giving, and you know I'm adamant about giving, they're telling us all to give. But let's just take a look. We just looked at Luke 6:38. Let's go back and look at verse 37 in Luke 6, because you always like to see what come before it, because you say, well, Pastor, talking about give and give and give. What did the Bible say before that? I'm glad you asked. Luke 6:37 says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Isn't that just kind of strange that this passage on forgiving comes before giving? Even Jesus said in Matthew 5:23-24, he says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. In other words, giving and forgiving goes hand in hand. I'm so glad he said, leave your gift here. And don't take it with you, because it may never come back. Giving and forgiving goes hand in hand. That could be why giving is down. There's such a lack of a willingness to forgive others for what they have said or done. What God needs in the world, what God needs in this world, it's bigger than any grudge you may have with your neighbor. Yes, bigger than any grudge you may have with your friend. Bigger than any grudge you may have with your family member or your spouse or your ex-spouse or your baby mama or your baby daddy or your coworker or your boo or your boss. And the word of God says, even your enemy. God needs us to give him a hand in transforming our homes, transforming our neighborhoods, transforming our community, and transforming this world. Oh, I know what you're saying. Okay, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but how should we forgive? How should we forgive? I'm glad you asked. It's in the Word. Yeah. Colossians chapter 3. Deacon Johnson's favorite chapter. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Amen. Oh, let me read it again. Bearing with one another, putting up with each other. And if one has a complaint against another, if one has a complaint, Holy Spirit, speak. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. God has blessed us and gifted us and empowered us that we can forgive others in the same way that he forgives us. Woo, Pastor, I don't know. I can't forgive like God. No. He's empowered us to forgive just like God forgives us. What do you mean? Pastor? I'm glad you said I had to write this down. I hear you saying, I just can't forget what they said. I can't forget what they did. I can't forget how they acted. Newsflash! God doesn't forgive and forget. So you don't have to either. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? What you mean God does not forgive and forget? That's my biggest problem. I can't forget. Well, God can't either. What do you mean God can't forget? Forgetfulness is a flaw in character, and God has no flaw in his character. You can't, listen, you can't make yourself forget something. You forget something because you forgot. You didn't mean to forget it. You just forgot it. That's a flaw. Yeah, you just can't make yourself forget. Y'all don't believe me? Anybody don't believe it? You just can't? I've done this 100 times. Well, we might have some guests that don't believe it. All right, I'm sorry. All right. Now I want y'all to forget that I threw that at the deacons. All right? On camera, everybody, forget that I just threw that. All right? Forget it. Now, I guarantee you that's the only thing some people going to remember about this whole message. I can't believe he threw something. I got a complaint against him. So what I'm saying is, forgetfulness is a flaw. But I said you have to forgive like God forgives. All right? So let's go to the Word. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 12 shows us how God forgives. He says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Pastor, what does that mean? God forgives us, but he chooses to remember no more. He doesn't forget it. He chooses to remember no more. Whatever the pain is, whatever the heat you, we have sinned, we've messed up, we should have been going straight to hell, but the blood of Jesus covers us, and God chooses to remember no more. We can make it through the hurt. We can make it through the pain. We can make it through difficulties by forgiving and not dwelling on how bad we have been treated and not dwell on how bad the situation was, but we could dwell on how good God is to us. So busy yourself, busy ourselves using the spiritual gifts God has given us. Busy yourself doing the work that God has called us to do because he's empowered us to do the work. Jesus went through pain and trials and tribulation and abuse for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He became poor that we might become rich. Do you see what the Lord did for you and for me? Came to this earth, went about doing good. Out of all the talk they did about him, how they ridiculed him, how they even tried their best to trick him up, how they lied on him and scandalized him, decided to arrest him because they wanted him dead, because he was changing everything going on in their lives. I just wonder today, how many folk today want Jesus dead because he's transforming things in our lives? He's speaking to us and telling us to do things that we don't really feel comfortable doing, we don't want to do. I'm used to doing what I've been doing, but now God is telling me to care for one another. God is telling me to give. God is telling me to live for him. God is telling me to use my spiritual gifts. I haven't been told I had to use my spiritual gifts before, but now the Lord is telling me, speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, that we need to use our gifts to make a difference in our community, to make a difference in our church, to make a difference in this world by meeting the needs of others. others who I may not know, others who may have done something crazy with what they had, and now we got to meet their needs. We're doing what God is calling us to do, and somebody said, I don't need that Jesus. I need a Jesus who will sit back and let me do what I want to do and save me and make sure I go to heaven anyhow. Well, listen, my brothers and sisters, the blood of Jesus was for all of our sins. Yes, he died for our sins, but God has rewards for those of us who are doing the work he calls us to do after we're saved. Once you're saved, hear it on today. If you've never heard it before, once you're saved, God desires that you would do the work he called you to do so he can reward you with the reward you will have throughout eternity. You won't have it for just a little while. You will have it all of your eternal life. And it's because of the work you've done. Please don't get to heaven and get mad with me because you don't have a certain reward that you thought you ought to have. Don't get to heaven and get upset because I could have had more. The pastor should have told me, I'm telling you now, you got to do the work that God is calling you to do because Jesus did die for all of our sins. He let him put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head, and on the cross because he loved me so much, on the cross because he loved you so much. The Bible says he died. He died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday night. But early, I said early, on that Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He walked around on this earth for 40 days and over 500 men saw him. And can you see him? Before he ascended into heaven, he told them to stay and wait for the promise. You will be my witnesses, and I will empower you. When the Holy Spirit comes, he said, I'll give you power to be my witnesses. In other words, I give you power to do the work that I need you to do. In other words, I give you power to give me a hand. I give you power to give me a hand in your living, to give me a hand in your giving, to give me a hand in your forgiving. He died. He rose from the grave. He sent back the Holy Spirit to come and live in us and to guide us and to gift us to do the work he wants us to do. I just got to say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. The only hands that God has are our hands. The only hands that God has are our hands. We got to do the work he called us to do. So I just got to ask you. I just got to ask you on the day. I just got to say to you what I need you to do. Let's give God a hand. Let's give God a hand. Let's give God a hand. Not just in worship, but let's give God a hand on this afternoon. Let's give God a hand on tonight. Let's give God a hand on Monday. Let's give God a hand on Tuesday. Let's give God a hand on Wednesday. Let's give God a hand on Thursday. Let's give God a hand on Friday. Let's give God a hand on Friday night. Let's give God a hand on Saturday. Let's give God a hand on Saturday night. And when we come back next Sunday, let's keep on giving God a hand. He wants to use us. And all we got to tell him is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for how you brought me through. Thank you for what you brought me through. Thank you for being God all by yourself. Come on, let's give God a hand. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy for all the honor. He's worthy for all the glory. Thank you. Thank you. We ought live a life of thanksgiving. Amen. For what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing, and the Lord will do. I can't thank him enough. Can't thank him enough. I can't thank him enough. Yeah, if you thank him right now for your situation, listen, as bad as you might think your situation is, God allowing you to go through it so he can bless you. And your life will be better, never bitter, if you just trust him. There may be those here today that saying, I need the Lord in my life. I need that connection with the Lord. I need to give my heart to God. We'll give you an invitation now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray a prayer right quick. A prayer that if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, that you could do that right now. And then after this prayer, we extend you an opportunity to come forward in this building, even online, to type the word save, if this is what you believe. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. What a mighty God we serve. If you're here today and you want to accept Christ, listen, by praying that prayer, you're already a disciple of Christ. Now we're extending you an opportunity to be a member of First African Baptist Church. If you'd like to be a member of First African, won't you come at this time? Say to all of, again, we recognize October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For that, we're asking that on next Sunday we would all wear pink. We'll all wear pink on next Sunday for our Breast Cancer Awareness Sunday. But we really recognize it all month. And we recognize those breast cancer survivors. We recognize those who have loved ones to go from labor to reward due to that. But we're asking that we'll be in prayer in a special way. And on next Sunday, please spread the word that we'll be wearing pink. Amen. Everybody. Everybody. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. As we close, am I forgetting announcements? We got everything? All right. Downstairs, do spiritual gifts assessment. Thank you. Let's pray. God, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you on this day. God, we ask for a special blessing, traveling grace for all of those who travel to be here. We ask for special blessing for those who are watching online. And God, keep us all that we can do our part. Help us, God, to do the work you've called us to do for such a time as this. Help us, God, to give you a hand in the work you have for us to do, the way you have us to do it. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen, amen. And praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.